has gone on at the same time. I've seen a few people seem to wander for a spell and then maybe figure it out. Yeah. Where is it at?
Peter Kirk Room. So
the Peter Kirk Room. Okay. All right, well, having said that, it looks like it's 7 o'clock, so we'll call the May 22nd Meeting Design Review Board to order. I'll start with roll call.
Carolyn Adams.
Here.
Tim Olson.
Here.
Nolan Morgan.
Here.
Brad Brown.
Here.
Scott Reiser. Dave Russell.
Here.
Susan Bush.
And just as a reminder to anyone that might be in the audience, there is the State of the City address occurring at the same time, and that is in the
Peter Kirk Room,
which is at south entrance, down a floor. And since we just did roll call, we can say Scott is here too. Approval of minutes. Has everyone had a chance to look at them? Any amendments?
One really minor thing that I noticed, and I don't know if it's critical, on the April 17th, Susan is referred to as Commissioner Bush. Technically, we are, I think, just board members, not commissioners. Other than that, I didn't see anything.
I think we can let her be a commissioner.
Self-created title.
I didn't know if it's required for the minutes or not. That's the only thing I noticed.
At least it's not president.
Yeah. on that, I don't know. I'd have to ask the staff. Is that something to say?
I mean, to be accurate, it's DRB member. Yeah. You know, but we can... Not
Can we
that big a deal.
Move to approve with the condition to...
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right, so moved. All right, on tonight's agenda, we have... well, I guess technically it's broken... excuse me. Before we get into the agenda... sorry. Agenda first, then request from the audience. We have... four items. One of those under the Design Response Conference for Potella, which I think is just a request for an extension. And then when we get into administrative reports and discussion, we have three items. Two of them are minor modifications at pre-approved or previously approved projects, and then a discussion on the design guidelines for the Houghton Everett neighborhood. All right. Before we get to that, are there any requests from the audience for items that are not on tonight's agenda? Seeing none, we'll start with, with Potella Village.
Yes, and you have a letter in your packet requesting that their design response conference be continued to August 21st, 2017. And just so you know, the reason for this is that they're working on the addendum to their environmental impact statement,
okay,
and they want to have that complete before they come back. So.
Okay. To approve that continuance, is that something we have to make a motion on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Let's continue to August 22nd. Is that what it was?
It's 21st. I might have said the 22nd, but yeah, it is August 21st. That's the meeting that you have.
All right. That technically does it for design response conferences. So we'll move on to a minor modification at the Village of Totem Lake.
Yeah. Thank you. John Regala with the City of Kirkland Planning Department. And I'm here in place of Scott Guder, who's busy studying for a big test tomorrow. And I'm also here for Jeremy, who's on vacation. So with that, thank you. Tonight is, I do have a brief presentation here on a modification to building CD/D for the Village at Totem Lake Phase 1 project. So the Design Review Board approved this portion of the project back in April of 2016. So since then, the applicant has made some design changes, is bringing it forward to the board for review. So here's a little bit of a meeting outline since don't get too many of these requests. I have a brief introductory presentation. The applicant's here to present the changes in more detail. At that point, if the DRB has questions, that'll be a good time to ask, and if the public wishes a comment. And then lastly, I do have a series of questions or concerns that staff would like input on before we make a decision on the proposal. So before we get started on my presentation, I just do want to note you have before you a packet that updates or provides supplemental information on the detailing at the garage screening levels. So with any modification to a DRB approval, the zoning code does have several criteria. The decision on a modification is made by the planning official based on these three criteria, but staff does have the staff can consult with the design review board when we do have questions under item 2, which reads, the modification is minor and will not in any substantial way change the proposed development or violate any requirement imposed by the design review board. So although many of the changes that the applicant is proposing are not necessarily major changes, but I think due to the scope and nature and the amount of changes, we definitely want to run it by the board. So the next several slides provide some background information from the previous approval that are pertinent to the discussion tonight. So the first topic is garage screening. So what you'll see on the screen here is that the DRB approved, agreed that the portions of the parking garage above the Ross building, so here's Ross, so you have the lower mall here, you have Totem Lake Boulevard on the bottom of the screen. So these portions here above the Ross buildings where the parking garage openings were allowed to not be screened. So it's these facades in these locations due to their visibility or lack of visibility from the project and adjoining rights of ways. Now where the board did condition screening, and let's see, we'll go here on building C. So here you have Ross. So here's the west facade, the south facade. So there were areas of these facades here where screening was originally not proposed. So these areas were conditioned with the DRB approval to have screening. And then as you go around the building here along 120th, these areas were and then north, you know, facing the Institute properties. And Evergreen Health is in this area here. These areas, again, were originally proposed to not be screened, but were required as part of the DRB approval. So I just wanted to clarify that there was a little bit of a mistake here in the conditions approval, but it's just to be noted, it's really the northeast and then the southwest facades of building CD that are required to be screened, and not the areas above the Ross building. Another condition of approval I want to highlight is that sunscreens were required as a condition of approval for the proposal. So before you, I did print out these discussion points. There are 6 of them, and I just want to briefly go over them. So these are the areas, or these are the topics on which staff would like your input on. So I just want to remind you that this is, we're just seeking the DRB input to help staff make a decision on the modification request. So the first item here is the new residential cantilevered floors at the north facade. So the area in question is this area here. And the applicant will go in more detail, but essentially what they've done is extend this portion of the building out a number of feet over the Ross building, or close to it, and propose a different design element there. The second bullet is the expansion of the garage design, which is unscreened, above the Ross building north facade. So that is this location here. So they've essentially taken this design and carried it throughout this facade. And then in general, I'd like to get some input on the garage openings, you know, and they'll be presenting how that's changed in terms of scale, the design details, and the quantity and spacing. And then the last three items are, so they've proposed a fairly significant change in terms of replacing the brick with a colored CMU, which they do have samples of tonight, the removal of sunscreens on the certain facades, and then the addition of balconies. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to the architect, Augustine, who will present in additional detail the proposed changes.
My name is Augustine Enriquez. I'm a principal with GBD Architects. If you all recall, I think we were last here about a year ago receiving the final approval for the project that John just walked you through. I'd like to kind of break it up into this presentation and be as brief as possible, break it up into three sessions. The first, briefly, the need for the revisions. I think oftentimes we might say, hey, we need revisions, but don't describe necessarily why those revisions are happening. Then we'll show the project before the revisions and then the project after the revisions that we're proposing. So there are enough revisions that it could be somewhat complex to walk through them. So if at any time it's not making sense, please let me know and I'll slow down or go backwards. So there are four main reasons that we're proposing for revisions. John had described that at the time of the project when we went for approval, we need to know that things that have changed that we couldn't have foreseen. The first among those, which is really the ripple effect of all of them, is at the time we had 192 apartments. After approval and going through a little bit more market study and some financial analysis, it became clear that we really needed to densify the building and create a few more apartments. So whereas we were approved for 192 apartments, we now have a project that has 202 apartments. The gross square footage of the building didn't really change, but in order to accomplish that, with the exception of that one little cantilever sliver, but in order to accomplish that, we had a building that was 74% one-bedroom apartments and two bedrooms and studios. Now we have 47% of the building is one bedrooms. We have the same number of two bedrooms, but we have more studios. So the building didn't grow a whole lot, but the unit mix did change as a result. As we've started to work directly with some tenants and go out and try and find tenants to fill the building, we needed to retain a little bit of retail tenant flexibility, and so we'll walk through some of those changes. And then finally, as we've gotten more into much more detailed technical construction documents and a general contractor's on board, there were constructability concerns that we worked through with them, and so that did change a little bit of the project. So as an example, why would the unit count matter? Here's the west elevation of the building before that you approved, and on the right hand is after. If we look at any given residential floor, so this is floor 5, this is floor 6, and this is floor 7, in from the northern side to the southern side, there were 6 apartments there. There are now 7. So the implication there is when we added that additional apartment and squeezed them up, so some of the apartments got narrower. In order to accomplish that, we went from 12 window openings there on that floor to 14. So the visual effect is relatively minor, but it did allow us to get a few more apartments in different locations in the building, and that's how we densified what effectively looks like the same building, and the materials are very similar, but that's a key reason for some of the revisions that we're proposing. Retail tenant flexibility, this is the south side of the building, but if you kind of zoomed in before, most patrons to the facility will park on the second, third, or fourth floor, and they will exit off the retail lobby. At the time of the design, the idea was to make the retail lobby relatively, inconspicuous, and you couldn't really see where it was. After giving it more thought, it became apparent, we probably ought to give a little bit more identity to that entrance and exit to the parking garage. And so you can see here it kind of went away and blended into the architecture. And then with more detailed thought, it became obvious that, well, that's really a different storefront, and so we ought to change it. So that's an example of another change that at the time we've since changed our philosophy about it. Similarly, there's two tenants in this part of the building, and it just makes sense that each tenant would have a little bit of a different identity. So that's a change for the retail tenant flexibility. After working with a general contractor and understanding some of the constructability issues that were with our previous screening approach, we've got a slightly different, I think the aesthetic is actually a little better because it adds one more material to the big, to that brick area. So we still have the white brick. We still have the fiber cement, and we've got these samples here. But now we've also got another area where we've added one other subtle accent material, which this will be painted CMU. You're never really that close to it, so we're really just looking for a continuous splotch of color, but that's the difference between the left and the right, is we've added a solid piece here that we also needed it for. This is the height of, say, the nose of a car or a vehicle, so this gives us our impact resistance there, which in this orientation we were thinking a little bit more of a different impact solution, and this is just a much easier construction technique, and I actually think makes the building, adds a little bit of detail.
Quick question. Okay, the CMU, how thick is it, and is it how far out from the screening is it going to extend?
Good question. So there's CMU behind all of this. I should say up to this level here. There's 4 inches of difference between the brick face and this CMU. So there is actually CMU behind this brick. There's brick in front of the CMU, and the CMU comes up to this level. And here it just gets painted. So the thickness of the brick is the depth between the face of the brick and the face of CMU.
So is that new lower piece on all of the garage windows, or just some?
Just some. This is just an example of a constructibility concern, and then I hope I'm going to walk you through all the other elevations, and I was trying to give a – here's one concrete example.
Is it going to look like painted concrete, or is the screening going to be in front of it, or
– The screen starts on top of it, so the screen – we've got a sample of the screen there, which is the same screen and material that was – proposed and approved last time, and so we've just reduced the amount of screen. Okay. We do have some details of it starting up on top of that sill, the screen starting on top of that CMU sill. We're also proposing to have a relatively heavy paint that more or less fills in the gaps between the CMU, and we can strike the CMU joints very tightly. This also only ever occurs on levels above the ground floor, so conceivably you're 25, 30 feet away from, at its closest, to this material. And we don't have large swaths of this.
So is there a, did you bring a sample of it painted?
We didn't, mostly because we would need to make a whole kind of CMU wall. It's really the joint of the CMU pieces together.
Sorry not to ask so many questions.
That's okay.
How tall is that going to be? I mean, from the bottom of the sill up.
These are 6 inches. No, these. So about 30 inches, roughly.
Okay. And you're saying the, just because the rendering makes it look more like one solid piece of material there. You're saying you strike the joints to be pretty narrow. Is the CMU block face, is that open face more or less? Is it smoother? Does it have more of a smooth appearance like the renderings are showing?
I believe it will, yes. I didn't bring a piece of the CMU, but
okay. I guess when I think of CMU, sorry, I usually think of the more open, the jagged edge of the if you have a core CMU block, so I assume this is.
Oh, sorry, no, this is flat CMU. It's not the textured CMU.
Talking about it, so.
But it's not split face.
It's not honed.
It's not ground.
It's not ground.
Okay.
And I also think it'll be helpful. I've got the before and afters. We proposed four different, we try to take each corner of the building, what it might look like in person. So this was what was approved before. So a similar, slightly different view, and we tried to up the quality of the rendering so it's a little more realistic. So this shows you the before and after, and I think if we were to kind of go back and forth, and the view's a little, the perspective's a little bit different, but and we're also being a little bit more careful with the color of the brick now because we've actually selected the real bricks. So this is still the same bricks that were approved before. We haven't swapped any of those pieces out in these locations. There are some noticeable differences. The balconies, for example, we are proposing to remove some of the sunshades around the building. In fact, almost all the sunshades. So these sunshades here are proposed to go away. We've got those all noted in the elevation, so maybe I'll kind of flip through the renderings and then we get into more details on them.
Could you comment on why you're taking the sunshades away?
Sure. In addition to some of those four concerns, we talked about the adding of the units, densifying, constructability. We also have had some cost challenges that we're trying to deal with, and so that's one way to deal with it. We also have included air conditioning into the project now, so the need for the sunshades is not as significant as it was before. Primarily, it was driven by cost, but I will say the inclusion of the balconies adds another level of sort of building topography, so the surface is not, you know, if we go to the next view, and I wanted to show, these would be the sunshades that are coming off. There is still a lot of surface topography because of the balconies. We didn't have the balconies previously, the same density of balconies. So as we started to think our way through, okay, what would be a rationale for taking away sunshades as opposed to just trying to save money, the balconies also add a lot of surface texture, we think, to the project.
Can you show the previous one again?
Sure. So we had some Juliet rails, but they weren't true balconies on that south side. And we've since come back after doing a bit more market study saying, boy, the balconies add an awful lot of value and pay for themselves very quickly because you can generate a little bit more rent from those units. So whereas the sunshades, truthfully, you don't get an increased rent from the sunshades where you do with the balconies. So in thinking through those implications.
Can we see this slide with the balconies?
Oops.
So on the previous slide, what were the little boxes? I forget.
Here? Yeah, they were Juliet rails. So it was basically a rail in front so you could have a big sliding door that could open all the way up, but you couldn't fall out. But you didn't actually get any additional exterior space. And after going through some market study, while this is a nice feature, you can't really capture the expense of the rails necessarily. So as we're fine-tuning our financial model, that was the strategy to then say, well, let's think about doing real balconies that you can get out onto.
So don't the balconies kind of act like a sunshade?
They do.
Is the railing material tempered glass? Is that what that's
showing? It's glass on the front, and then it's solid on the side, so you do still have some privacy from the side, but our perspective is that when you're sitting in your chair looking out, once you're seated, you really want to be able to see through your balcony. But you get a little bit more privacy by having some solid on the side of the balconies. So if we continue to walk around, this is the other part of the area of the project where I'd say, at least visually or technically, there might be the most change in thinking about this is that estate brick CMU. We've got some samples out in front of you. That's the samples that are in front. This is a integrally colored CMU in the size of a large brick. So they're 4x16 modules. They're not 8-inch module. And at the end of the presentation, we've got some images of a built project with this same product. These are a little bit dusty and dirty, so the reference images will be a little bit better, but that's what's proposed now here, getting away from the brick and going to the CMU.
So there are two different thicknesses. Are you proposing using the two different thicknesses?
No, these are full CMU blocks, and the reason we're going through here, we're using these give us our crash resistance at the garage as well as the finished surface. So the other places where you're seeing the brick at the garage level, there's actually CMU behind most of the brick to give us a crash resistance. And then we have CMU and then brick in front. And we've been searching for a product that could give us the look of brick without having to have two masonry materials
these
in front.
These are all CMU blocks? These
correct.
Are, okay.
Correct. They're only 4 inches tall, so this is the thickness.
Okay.
And then finally, this was the other image that we had shown you. This would be coming into where in front of Ross. Ross is not all gray, but this is just showing Ross being grayed out. John also described there is a, as the brick wraps around the garage, there's a point at which it stops being screened because it's really not visible. And so that's what all of this in here behind Ross. I guess I go to another view here. This is the current proposal. Behind Ross, this is all unscreened garage. A, because you can't really see it. There are only a few places on site, and you have to be really pretty far away, and that allowed us to increase the amount of open free area into the garage to retain the ability. The garage is totally passively ventilated, so we don't have any fans moving air around in the garage.
So the cantilevering is it, 4 or 5 feet out?
Yeah, it's 8 feet.
8 feet.
Yeah, it's back in this zone. This is also a good way to show that you really just don't see it very much. You only kind of see it as you're pulling into the parking garage, but of course the closer you get, the more the building is blocking, the more Ross and the other retail here is actually blocking that cantilever, which is one of the reasons why we thought that the cantilever was a good solution.
So what about the residential units seeing into the parking garage?
The only units, there is one unit on this corner that could see over into the parking garage.
Okay.
Yeah, because it turns the corner. The rest of them are kind of looking. There are some units interior here, but they're really looking more towards the courtyard. And I think the natural way that in apartments, people eyes have a tendency to look out and sort of up towards the sky. So I think that's not going to be too much of a concern. It's also why we don't think there's going to be a big delta difference between the cost of the rent on these western units, even though you're looking, it's the Ross garage below you, but you're up so high and your eye really is going to carry up. So I think these are actually going to be pretty premium units. The view heading west is actually really very nice. And you're up pretty high here, frankly. So that's kind of a whirlwind tour around the perspectives, but I think it might be helpful to go kind of before and after on the elevations because we try to call out maybe to our detriment, we tried to make sure we called every single change that happened out so they sort of amplify and look like a lot of substantive changes, but they're actually, I think, relatively minor. So if we went back and forth, this was one of the first examples I showed of adding more units along this, one more unit and more window openings. So the proportions have changed a bit, but the makeup and the pieces and the quality of the materials is really all the same. So then if we kind of pointed out, John had laid out in a memo to you all some of the proposed changes staff had no concern with, and then other changes there were some concern, or I would say that they were looking for a little bit of feedback on, would be fair to say. So we've tried to highlight those areas. One was just that there was unscreened garage before. We still have unscreened garage. The openings in this area got wider. That allowed us to get a little bit more free area. So if I went back to that, if you kind of focus on this zone, the openings were a little narrower, not dramatically so, but they were a little bit narrower, and now we've widened them just a bit, and they're still on screen. This is the area where 8 feet of the building cantilevers out. This was another opportunity for us to get a few more units in this area here. It's also relatively hard to see. You don't see it from very many parts of the building, so the cantilever is relatively unobtrusive. If I went over here, the garage screening in this location, previously this orange material was the fiber cement panel, and now it's painted CMU. And we've added a couple of corner balconies on this elevation. That's basically the areas of changes that John had asked us to review with you.
Is there any change? The penthouse windows got changed a little.
The penthouse windows did change a little bit. Staff didn't think that was that had risen to the level of.
Does the roof extend out further than the penthouse, or are the windows set back further? I got that impression.
The penthouse does step back. It was always stepped back. And then there is a small eyebrow on top of the penthouse, so it looks like a penthouse rather than part of the original building. But at the step back is really what allows that to read like a penthouse.
But was there change in that?
The step back was always there. This was a storefront-like material, and it's gone back to a much more similar material window. So the windows are vinyl windows here as well as on the penthouse. We added a little bit more solid as well.
So it looks like you lost a fair amount of glazing.
We did.
And is part of that because of the change from the windows that you had there before, or the storefront sort of design you had before?
In part, the storefront was relatively expensive, and there was a perceived lack of privacy between. So there's outdoor decks here, and you really could sort of peekaboo in previously, and we frankly hadn't given this area a tremendous amount of thought when we had come back in terms of that lack of privacy, and now we've given it much more real life approach, which I think in the end is going to be very good.
Well, we're right there on that. That elevation, it looks like the glass railing at that penthouse level is substantially taller, and or the brick below is shorter compared to the original. Is that
it should be the same. I don't know if we zoomed in here, but the glass rail should be 3'6".
I mean, I know the height of it, but it looks like it's much more glazing versus, you know, glass starting at 12, 18 inches up off of the deck level behind it.
Yeah, and that could be a constructability issue with having the location of that slab now, as we've got into more details of wood frame construction as the step back actually occurs there. We probably needed a little bit more solid there than we were showing in order to get the insulation and the drainage and everything to actually work there.
Maybe it relates how the window, the change in the windows that you're using, the brow seems to have changed a bit. If you said before, what changed there? It looks like before was a lot
flatter,
thinner. Yeah, and now it's
lower.
It looks lower, it just looks bulkier or something up there, but I was more curious about trying to figure out why that brow on top is much thicker.
Yeah, let me see if I could zoom in here. The brow itself, I don't think is thicker, but the parapet now is much taller than it was previously. So, where the cursor is right here, here's the brow.
Okay.
The gray here is actually a parapet which is set back from the brow.
Oh, okay.
That allows us to get the roof drainage we need to get back away from the parapet. Previously, I think the brow was probably, if not the exact same size, very similar, but we probably didn't have quite the amount of parapet there to actually get that to work.
Can you go to the perspectives of that one right there, the before and after? So that's the after. No, that's before.
Yeah, here's the before.
Yeah,
and then the after.
So that brow is changed. I mean, it sticks out further to the north than it did previously, or the parapet behind us. So are there balconies? Not balconies, but decks on that north face of that penthouse?
Here there are not.
There are not.
There is the one at just the
corner. Yeah, so it doesn't continue all the way across. There's one, this balcony wraps way around, and then this comes back out. So there's
a fin, kind of the termination of that. Is that a vertical fin? Go to the left. Boom, right there. Is that a big old fin that drops down right there?
It's basically the wall, because this is set back, and so this isn't a fin per se. It's just the wall of that unit.
Beyond that, the units are flush out to the what I call the fin?
Yeah, not exactly flushed out because the thickness of the brick is different, but the face of the wall I think, continue straight up. So there's probably a 4 to 6 inch difference between this face and this face.
Okay.
Where here there's many feet difference.
And those units beyond that seem to have a lot more glazing. Is that correct?
Here?
Yeah. Those look very similar to the before.
Yeah, because they go up to the brow and you can see.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, those windows go up to the brow and you can see to the right, you know, where there's the overhang.
Kind of just a header.
There's a little bit of, yeah, header.
Okay. Just, it's kind of like finding Waldo, you know, what's changed, what's different about
yeah.
these, and that's...
Has the parking configuration changed at all, or the number of spaces with the additional apartments?
Not dramatically so, no. No, there's been subtle changes as a column may shift, so a parking stall moves from one area to the other, but nothing other than the result of maybe a mechanical space needed to be there that we hadn't known at the time. But in essence, no. On the south side of the building, we talked about a few of the changes, primarily the as we get more information from different retailers that we're trying to woo, then the first floor, and then occasionally the second, third, fourth, if one retailer wants this zone, then that's caused the majority of those changes, just retail tenant feedback, with the exception of this zone here really did change because I think it really needed to. Being able to readily identify all that location, I think, made a lot of sense. Otherwise, the bulk of the changes that have happened on this face were really the refinement of the apartment's design within the building. So if we kind of went back and forth, as we got into a little bit more unit design, this face changed a little bit. Same materials, same quality of stuff. But the addition of the balconies and the removal of sunshades has been the bulk of the changes here, with the exception of thinking through the screening at the garage. So we've got some more detailed examples of how the garage screening takes place. So pointing out the areas on the south side, the number of comments that staff had here that we're looking for your feedback was probably, of all the faces, the most minor. And we'll get into some of the specifics on the garage screening, because I can imagine that'd be an area of that's a topical thing to talk about. And then the sunshades are really just a removal of the sunshades. They're not the changes that we're no longer proposing them. The east side of the building, again, it's really the widths of things that have changed, or the proportions of things, generally speaking. And then the big change, of course, is the proposal to go away from a specific red brick to this what's called estate brick, but it's really an integrated colored CMU product.
And how about the clear panel over the garage entry?
Yeah, we also, yeah, that's another good observation. This was glass looking into basically where cars were parked. And so the more we got in and started thinking about this, the more we simplified it and went with the same screening strategy we have everywhere else in the building, rather than having glass in these locations. So previously, which was glass at the garage, we're now proposing the same screening element there that we have everywhere else in the building. So that's that note.
And how far back was that set from the rest of the facade on either side?
Yeah, I don't know exactly, but it's deeper than the balcony, so I think it's probably about 7 feet.
Can you go back to the glass one more time?
This was another one of those, as we got into more detailed technical calculations, we, in order to maintain the passive ventilation for the garage, we were looking for every area to get more air movement, and this is 100% solid with the glass, and that was an area where we could increase the amount of air flowing in and out of the garage. It's also one of the reasons why we went away from the perf metal panel that wasn't as free as the woven wire mesh that we have here.
swap back to the flow slide then. What's the, sorry if you said I just missed, what's the type or color material there that's the solid?
Here?
Yeah.
This is a fiber cement panel. So these areas, it's this fiber cement that is a lapped board. Here it's a panel. So instead of being thin pieces, these are larger pieces of hardy panel.
And it's kind of a dark color, black?
Yeah, it's charcoal gray.
Charcoal, okay.
The last elevation, of course, is the north elevation, and this is one of the areas where we actually thought that what we had was a little bit clumsy with the way that we had one red brick building, a louver slot, another but kind of skinny red brick building, and we went around and around trying to see if we couldn't refine this, knowing that we would always have to come back with this because this was a minor modification even before we had the increase of the unit density. I think we thought we might be able to come up with a better solution there. And so what we did there was to take the red, what was one building and another building, if I go back, but it kind of looked like one building, even though it sort of looked like two buildings, and it just was always a little bit confused. So we thought, well, maybe we'll actually treat them as two separate building blocks, and that was one of the strategies we had talked to you guys about in our very first design review hearing, was to separate the building in a series of blocks. And so when we went back to that strategy, we thought, well, why not think about that as another block? And then the cantilever started to make more sense. And so this kind of read as a block and a block and a block, and we got back to what we thought was a little bit more keeping in spirit of the whole building, knowing that this is a little bit of a different and unique thing. We didn't really have a cantilevered area. In our case, I think the cantilever is very hard to see anywhere around the site, actually. You don't really ever see it, so that also led us to believe we think it's a better solution anyways, but it's actually hard to see anywhere. So this area here is the integrally colored CMU block as well. It's the gray one that's sitting in front of you, and then this area here is the red one. These are a couple pictures from their brochure, but the real stuff's sitting in front of you. Some of the other areas, I think the width of some of these garage openings here changed. It was slightly narrower here, and as well, we had this element coming down before, but was kind of a complicated thing to do from a construction perspective. As well, you can't really ever see that location. I mean, in pure elevation you can, but the only place you would ever actually see this is standing out here in Ross, and we had that other 3D perspective that demonstrates you really can't see this, so we looked at going to just a painted CMU block in this location, mostly because it's a hard place to see, and so we still have the white brick carrying in and stops about the point when you can no longer see it, and then it goes to painted CMU. There was an error in one of our drawings that we had missed. We had always planned on keeping this as red brick, but we had noted this as going to hardy panel, a fiber cement panel, but that's not the case. We're not proposing that, so we scratched that off. There are only areas where the brick is changed is when the brick changes to the integral CMU, and then in the garage screening, we have changed some of that to the painted CMU. Anytime we go to the painted CMU, the CMU goes from an 8-inch block to a 4-inch depth block, so you still always have a depth reading there of 4 inches, so it's not just a change in color, but actually a change in plane. So this is what you approved previously on the we had three different garage screening strategies, and we've now we've simplified the garage screening material to just the one approved mesh. We no longer have the other three, but we've kept the strategy of how they're broken up similar. So if I go back, previously we had the painted fiber cement board on the left. Oops. And we're still doing that, but we've also integrated the crash wall as the painted CMU adjacent to it. So if we kind of went back, this area here would have been the crash wall area. Now it's this area. Similarly, at this one, we before had a kind of a coppery color perf panel. We just simply couldn't get the free area. And so we opened up the amount of mesh in all cases, and we went to a solid crash wall in this location. That's right below. And then on the right, again, just the proportions have changed a little bit. This was a dark metal frame, and we went with the painted CMU. And I think the reason why we feel pretty comfortable with this really is pretty far away from you. You're never up close to this material in reality, the painted CMU. It's always roughly 25 to 30 feet or more away from a pedestrian. This is also the area where you'd ask the question, what's the difference between this face and this face? It's in all cases 4 inches away. So 8-inch thick CMU to 4-inch thick CMU. In working with staff, they had also asked us to maybe do another one of these details to show all the parts and pieces. So this is what we're proposing now. We still have the metal frame around. We still have the depth of difference between the CMU and the fiber cement, as well as the CMU and the painted CMU. And so kind of the before and after, it's put together a little bit different, but the depth and the topography is still there. It's still not that kind of flat CMU garage aesthetic. We're still a very high quality garage, primarily made out of brick. But the parts and pieces are put together a little bit different. We could go through the details. I don't know that if you like, we can go back to them. But now this is a picture, not a architecturally photographed picture, but just like a regular camera phone picture of the estate brick. So this is the integrated colored CMU. So here's a traditional size CMU, and this is the same product, just it's half as tall, so it really does look much more like a red brick.
And what was the grout color that you were planning on using? Was it traditional light gray like this, or were you proposing a dark grout?
No, I think I would like to see it as a red grout. I don't know that we ever specified it previously because it was brick and we had a red brick, but we can get the color of the grout, any color we want. There's really minimal charge on that.
The only place that the 4x16 hits the ground is on that north end, correct? Right there. So that's one plane all the way to ground, correct? To storefront.
Correct.
Okay. The other slide you just showed a mix of 8x16s and some soldiers and some things. Is this going to be just a 4x16 smack down to the?
Correct. It's 4x16 all the way down.
Do storefront slope in that area? Are we dead level?
No, there is. I think from this point to this point, I think this is a foot of grade.
Yeah, there's one location on the ramp, so that doesn't happen. So much level, we ramp between storefronts and one of the pylons.
Yeah. So I think your question would be what happens at the base of those columns, and I think what we'll likely do. We haven't done these details yet, but I think we'd probably run the CMU below the sidewalk, and the sidewalk would get poured up after the CMU was installed, so you'd actually see a slight slope there poured against the CMU.
Okay, and at those columns, those pilots, as the CMU turns and goes back, you know, a few inches to the storefront, or is it coplanar, or what?
No, actually, I think in this area it's much deeper than a few inches because these are where the concrete columns are back behind. So I would guess this might be a few feet.
Okay. Because at the corner, that was where long, long ago we had that deep recess and there's an entry and you know, that all that stuff happening there, is that still is?
Yeah, if we went back to the perspective. So the disposition of the floor plan here hasn't really changed much. We still have people coming out and then walking along this sidewalk, and so there was a couple strategies for this being set back, but one of them was people need to exit the building and be able to come through and stay on this sidewalk. So that's still happening in this location.
Okay. And all right, that's fine.
So do you have any experience or examples or that you've seen where the screening has been used in sort of a similar situation to obscure parking?
I don't have
any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't have a project that I could point to that I've personally been involved with. I think at the time of our last hearing, I think we had some pictures of that. I don't have any with me today. But I would also say we're not changing the screen material from what was already approved. So the screen that's in front of you, we had before and was approved. Now we're simplifying it where that's just...
But there were other ones as well.
There were.
And we mixed before, and this was, now you're doing that one.
Questions now?
Yeah.
I've got.
I should ask before I kicked it on to questions at the end of.
That's all we had to share.
I guess.
I've got one question that's not been mentioned at all. Is this new? And I guess my understanding, reading through it, was because we need a dog, dog relief area on the roof. We now have the really tall elevator over and stairs to that level. Is that correct?
So we have. We have actually eliminated the dot, so this height here doesn't go this tall any longer. So we're no longer bringing dogs up on top of the building for a pet relief. It's just a stair. So this was the elevator overrun, and now it stops at the top of the stair.
But there still is a roof deck. We never had a roof deck up on this one, did we?
No, there's no roof deck. There was a dog relief area that was not a public amenity, but a place to bring your dog up. It was a very small area, a couple hundred square feet, and that was this location. And we just very recently value engineered that out of the project.
Okay. And what is that material on the face of that elevator penthouse area?
Box rib. Yeah, we're a box rib metal panel.
Okay. Another minor question. So looks like the floor levels have changed ever so slightly. We're a little taller on the building. Is that correct? A foot taller? I assume there's plenty of height allowances, I recall, in this area. But
we might have raised the parapet to get the roof drainage to work, but I don't think that we changed the height of the floors. But we never are over the height other than this roof of pertinence was taller than we had previously shown.
Okay. Well, I did the numbers. It looks like level 1.5 is now 11.5 feet, not 11 feet, correct? And level 2 is mixed numbers because the old stuff had kind of relative numbers and the new stuff has absolute elevations, but looks like everything grew just a little bit. Yes, ma'am.
To deal with the grades around there, we may have pushed and pulled some of the parking levels together. I think that's where you see it, where we had to add insulation. We may have shrunk the parking levels or raised it from the ground floor to the second.
Okay. Well, and it went all the way up, so it's 91 feet to the top of the parapet now, where it was 90 feet before. That's not an issue for our heights, or is that something we get covered?
Yeah, well, when the permit review happens, we double check the height. So
I just wanted to make sure. And a very minor little thing, I don't know which perspective or elevation it is. The new, on the south side, the balconies that poke out you wanted the solid sides to them. Maybe it was one of the perspectives that shows it clearly. Let's see. Yeah, the one from, keep going back, I think, in your stack. That one, there's a good one right there.
Yeah, the corner balcony is a little bit of a different condition. So this actually, I think, is important to be glass all the way around.
Yeah.
But the other ones, like you can kind of see down here, then the sides of those balconies are solid, but not...
Staying on that one, the uppermost balcony that's above the white center section, it instead of the balcony sort of being inset a little bit, it just looks like it is just a continuation of that tall vertical wall up there on top.
This here?
Yeah. It just struck me as kind of an odd way of doing a balcony that's sort of an add-on rather than a piece of the wall.
And
am I correct? We lose all the sunshades that are adjacent to those balconies are gone, correct?
Yeah, correct.
All those, okay.
Yeah, and that's a good catch. This wouldn't, I didn't mention it, this wouldn't actually happen. This won't be in the same plane. I mean, just the logistics of the way the balcony would be put together. It is rendered that way, but okay. That wouldn't physically happen.
And we're wood framed up at this point?
Correct.
And those are they cantilevered balconies?
No, they're all bolt on. So that's why this will actually be out of plane in both sort of the X and the Y dimension. Yeah, so it will look better than that because it won't be in the same plane.
Okay. And like at the corner balconies, we get a really thin looking floor with solid soffitting material underneath.
It'll be a painted metal deck underneath.
Okay.
They're aluminum bolt-on balconies.
Okay. That's all I have.
Dave, do you have anything more?
Nothing more.
The only other question I have, but I think I already know the answer to it. You were talking about the cantilevered portion of the building now. Have you had any other? We've kind of gone through all the. Is this about as good a perspective as you have to see that portion of the?
Yeah, and there's actually a lot more stuff here. So in person, you wouldn't. This is a lot heavier vegetated. So, but yes, this would be the best. I suppose we could also go to this last view here. This would also.
Yeah, I see.
Here,
that,
it's hard to see that it's cantilevering. But that is a real life perspective that you would have.
And eventually, I mean, will that somehow get tied in together there, that bit of the project? Will that always, you reckon, the where Ross and everything is there will stay in the same sort of geometry anyhow, the same elevation there and everything?
Oh, this? Yeah, I think this is the most current geometry of Ross. The comment from the audience was it's a little bit taller here on the edges, but that's effectively the proposal for Ross. Oops, that's his name in the... Sorry.
I didn't have any other questions. Brad, do you have any other questions?
No, I think, I don't know. The presentation took care of all of my big questions.
Good.
All right. Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment? If so, please sign in, state your name and address. Seeing no public comment on this item, I guess we can start our deliberations. Anyone want to start?
Start. Overall, I think that they're improvements. I actually think the cantilevers are going to add some texture to the building. I like the additional windows. I don't like the loss of glazing on the penthouse, but I think that's something I could live with. I used to like the fact that the lobby did disappear. You know, that's a disappointment. Here's my issue, the painted CMU. So that's my one thing that I like the balconies. I like, you know, I think that overall this is an improvement. I would say there's two concerns I have. On the board, I don't mind the brick. In the picture up there, I hated it. So those are the two areas that I would like to discuss because, I don't know, it just seems like they could come up with something better to disguise the painted CMU than just the painted CMU. It seems like it's a very cheap way of getting out of it.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of the notes I jotted down too is, you know, the texture looked different. I mean, even if they have real tight grout lines and all that, are you still just going to say
especially if
it
ages and sometimes lime comes out,
yeah,
I think it looks awful.
It'll catch, I mean, it'll still have shadow lines, yeah, even regardless of the sun perspective. I mean, you will be able to, I think, catch a glimpse of that and realize it's essentially the same material, or at least from distance.
I had the same concern on the CMU, and I was going to say, is there a way that we can recommend to staff that if it looks like, you know what, that the applicant be directed to either parge it or sack it or do something to make it more plainer from what we think it's not going to end up looking like?
I just think that there is, I don't think we should allow it.
Yeah.
No painted CMU. I think that they have to come up with a different finish on it. I think that there's enough ways to either disguise it, sack it, put up a honed CMU. I'd rather see a honed because then the maintenance is gone.
Mm-hmm. And it's theoretically feasible to just do the honed where it's in the little sections where it shows, and where it isn't, you're back to the inexpensive slap it up stuff. Yeah.
And I think overall the maintenance of repainting it would pay for it. And
even if not being prescriptive or anything, but if there's another, if you come back with a cementitious board or something like that to give it some texture that's purely just a facade over the front of the CMU, material they need behind for the crash impact stability or whatever it was. So I don't know. I mean, anything, something to dress it up, though. I think everyone is kind of in agreement there that just the normal CMU painted is not going to.
I guess I mean, the CMU, the painted CMU, on, especially when you get back beyond the white brick on this elevation right here, you know, if it's plain old CMU that is really not very visible, if there's a way to say, yeah, it's okay there, but on the south side especially, where we're going to see it, where the sun's going to hit it, you're going to see every little crevice of the CMU. Is there a different material or a better way to do it there where it really shows and matters? Versus, because I mean, expensive hone stuff on the backside here where it's not visible except standing on the Ross roof, or from, you know, super long distance from the new Lennar, which is going to be looking down on it from up the hill. But certainly this west side, I mean, we've got, you know, 1, 2, 3 floors of parking with painted CMU that's totally visible right there. If that's honed, it turns a corner or does something, and then it switches when it gets to the less visible areas.
I don't know. I don't think it should be covered with another material. Honed is fine, but I don't, you know, there's something, it's a parking garage, and if the surface is handled so it's going to be easy to maintain, I think it can be CMU.
Painted?
Not painted.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've never seen a painted CMU that's looked good. Ever. Who's ever said, wow, that looks like really sharp painted CMU?
I I have trouble with the vertical glass element being gone, not because it's glass, but because it really broke up those buildings nicely, and now it's very, very heavy feeling. It changes the whole composition of the facades.
Yeah, I agree too.
They didn't, I mean, maybe I could have been swayed into letting them use the paneling there, you know, because they need the opening, you know, to avoid having to ventilate it. But they even changed the proportions of it, so it now looks just like, you know, the wall on either side. That's kind of why I thought, well, what's the setback? Maybe it's setback enough, it'll still look different, but it looks too similar to the rest. It needs to be differentiated, that tower piece right there.
The north side of it has that fin that sticks out quite a way. I think the fin stops at
the storefront. Yeah, and I remember you talking about that.
And it looks like there's sort of some signage to say parking when you're coming down the hill from the north. So there should be a greater setback there, but...
Which page is that elevation on?
Well, it's our page 15.
I'm sure they need that column there in the middle, you know, that's splitting it up into two panels. But, you know, looking at what they proposed last time, the way it's like a one continuous horizontal element, you know, each piece of glass, it really differentiates it. I'd like to see them treat the proportions of that entrance differently. And considering how they opened all of the, you know, openings just a little bit, and they even got rid of the perforated panel, I'm guessing they're at the bare minimum of open space needed, you know, to hit their requirement to not have ventilation. You know, but yeah, this is the one spot that I would really pick, you know, that they need to do something different on.
Yes, I'd like to see plans again to see what the setbacks or the recess is for, because in my recollection, we have no rolling gate on this. It's open all the time. There's no...
because it's for all the retail and everything.
It's all retail and everything. And so, you know, I know we had, again, memory serves me right, we have those walls that extend a certain distance in as you start up the ramp. That are the similar material. So is that painted, you know, fiber cement paneling, or what? What is that? I guess is my question. When we head into the parking.
My name is Chris Weber, and I'm with GBD Architects. That is the same material that's adjacent. It's the darker brick at the base.
On the south side.
At the parking garage entrance or the south side?
Yeah, the south side of the parking garage entrance.
Okay. Our over elevations.
Right there.
Okay. So the south side is a dark brick. And it does wrap into the garage entrance. The other side is a mix of dark brick and I believe it's a cultured stone. It may just be the dark brick that also wraps in. But those two both wrap into the garage entrance.
How far do they wrap in?
We do still have a rolling gate. It's about 10 to 15 feet inside the garage, so it wraps back to the rolling gate. The gate will be closed after hours and for residential access only. We wanted the queuing to be within the garage and not on the street.
And that the ramp starts after the gate, obviously.
Correct.
Okay.
So was changing the glass mainly a cost?
It was actually the change to get the free area for the garage ventilation. We have to be 20% open throughout the entire facade. As you can see, the second floor was really where it was hurting us, where we had brought the brick up. We didn't have any screening at a lot of the second floor. So we really needed that free area. We tried keeping glass. We did a frosted glass to deal with headlights, but we had to add it back in to meet our free area requirements.
Now, didn't you have it in the first plan? Did you have the 20% in the first plan?
We did, but we've played with the module sizes of the pilasters, and you know, I think once we really sharpened our pencils on the free area of the screens that we were using, we factored in the height of the impact wall once we had that engineered of how high that had to be, and we ran through a lot of studies, mathematics studies on to get that free area. This was kind of the minimum that we had to have. I mean, I heard what you were saying about the look here, and I think we could certainly play with changing that so it maybe looks less like a punched opening, maybe more like a larger opening, but I think we would need to maintain the screening there just to, for the free area to get the ventilation.
I think my concern is that it was a real sophisticated look, and now it's a very basic building look of, you know, hardy board panels that we see on every building.
So what if we're able to just eliminate that center pseudo column and just have it, you know, wide open with screening the whole way across? I mean, and then maybe at the residential top three floors it switches back to where you do get more of a punched opening look like residential.
Yeah.
What if you take, like, you know, rather than maybe just the screening that's in all the others and you use perforated panel, like, just for these, and you run it horizontally even across the front of, you know, that center, well, I guess it would just be cement board, you know, and if it's just a couple inches set off the front of the face, it's going to look like one continuous piece. No one's really going to be able to tell that there's a center, you know, you can kind of fake that, you know, that proportion that they've, that they presented, you know, that we approved. Now, I'm just trying to think of solutions where you can keep it open, you know, but still go back to a more refined, you know, proportion that.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I think we're hearing that we need to go back and spend some more time on there and have it look more slick and not punched, more of a taut single material there. So we can certainly explore that and resubmit some documents to the city.
Looking at this perspective, it's just one thing that had jumped out to me on this elevation and a few others around the with that at the penthouse level, the change there. Yeah, I realize that when I flip through the perspectives, you don't necessarily, they're pulled back enough now, you don't really see them supposedly from the pedestrian perspective, but if you really could see things like you can in this elevation view, to me that's a lot different character along the top floor. Now you have a, to the eye, you have a wider brow on the top and much less glazing. You have smaller little punched windows in there versus the more, you know, the more generous glazing that you had in the original and what was approved. So I don't know if anyone had any real strong feelings or thoughts on that. Like I said, my feelings are incredibly strong once I saw you can't see it necessarily, or supposedly can't see it from the pedestrian view. Now you see more of a kind of a stronger brow that
I kind of like the stronger brow on the new.
I do too. So that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's not as big of a deal since.
Well, it seems like when you turn the corner, I mean, they did preserve the windows.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is just a noticeable change between the, even in the perspectives of how it.
I don't think when they gave us the elevation, it did it justice. The picture is a little bit better.
I agree. The 3D representation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was initially worried about it, but 3D representation. Seems okay.
Mm-hmm. I know, Scott, you like the balconies. I'm not a big fan of the balconies, especially the ones at the corners that just stick out way too far, in my opinion, sort of into what I think is the public realm, if you will, the public airspace that that are page 20 versus 21. Mm-hmm. I think really shows it clearly for me, the that northwest corner that would be looking down on Ross. That one, it just, it's like it's way too much of an outie for me. But and then even the ones over at the main corner there at 120th, if memory serves me right, we had a bunch of balconies on the other side of the street for phase two, but I don't recall them sticking out like this that much at the corners. I recognize that they're sort of a swap for sunscreens, which I miss having, but
I do too. I think that was a nice component on that south, yeah, especially. And the balconies are, they're not well integrated, is the problem. Mm-hmm. Like,
I know yeah, why the
facade wasn't designed for the balcony at first. You can tell.
Right.
Yeah. The Juliets just won't get the rent, you know, coming in, but these obviously do, and that's the analysis that was done. But I think it's been a bit of a step backwards again, especially at the corners. Maybe if they're mid block, if you will, they're okay. But the ones that stick out just bug me.
I didn't mind the ones at the corners, but the one on 100, the ones along the wall on 120th, I thought looked a little odd, stuck up too far. But I'm okay with it.
I kind of had the same feeling about the balconies. Just, they looked, I don't know, kind of clunky, kind of stuck on, not really incredibly well thought out. Whereas I thought with the shades or awnings, they had a little cleaner, more sophisticated look to the building, which I know mm-hmm. I'm just swimming upstream of of the reasons for doing this change, but from a design point of view, to me, I like the original better.
And maybe it's the solid side panels to the balconies that I'm not admitting.
Yeah,
that's what
I'm just wondering
like.
If they were glass.
If we've seen tons of them around on lots of buildings that are the bolted on. You get the tension bar at the 45 holding it up, and it's either mesh, you know, 4x4 mesh or something that they get more opaque as they get occupied because people put plants and Christmas lights and bicycles and everything that kind of, but I don't, you know, they're everywhere that don't have major privacy concerns. Maybe that's what I'm reacting to, is seeing those, even this, the perspective taken from up the hill coming down on 120th, which, and I know you guys are probably tired of me saying it, the sun doesn't shine like this. We don't see these shadows created by a north sun at a 45-degree angle. This is not going to look like this, you know. If those balconies, as you get further down the block, don't have bright sun on them, but instead are mesh or metal or something, maybe they look better and not so just saddlebags hanging off the side. No, get off my soapbox.
Well, I don't personally mind the removal of the sunscreens. Like, for instance, in picture 22, I don't think they're adding much. The balconies that offer more promise, but I agree with the comments just made.
It's a little disconcerting to hear that because the sunscreens, we don't need the sunscreens because we're air conditioning now.
I agree with that.
You know, an open window in this climate works really well for air conditioning, except for a few days. But if we're taking sunscreens out because of the, but we'll just get bigger wires feeding it.
How do we resolve? I think we have at least consensus would be there is some comment on the balconies and maybe mm-hmm. where some divergences is on.
I don't know, maybe I actually still like the balcony, yeah, yeah. but maybe they need more work.
They need
to integrate, you know, because I think all the comments are very valid. They probably need to integrate into the building a little better. They maybe need to look a little more urban. They probably need to...
scaled appropriately and all.
Yeah. Look like they were originally intended to be on the building as opposed to the addition.
Well, I think maybe it's fair enough to say, we would say that the balconies at a minimum would need more development.
I really don't like the blocked off sides, and I don't see that, you know, when you're on a balcony, your privacy is limited. So a side is probably not going to make that much of a difference.
Yeah, well, if you're in a balcony in a fairly high density living situation, yeah, the second you step out there, you've lost a lot of privacy. But I would say at the very least, we'd say that it needs more development, more resolution, and revisit the question again. If they, you know, I suppose we would reserve the right then to say even after more development, more thought, but if we still are not, you know, a balcony for the board isn't quite working, we still, I guess, reserve the ability to revert back to the original design. Is that fair enough to say?
I'd just like to see him again, I guess. Some further development.
Is it really in our hands, though, or is it just up to you guys?
We recommend, yeah.
It's really up to staff's decision, but we do really rely on the board's expertise. Maybe I'll quickly summarize what I've heard.
Okay.
So in terms of the painted CMU, definitely a concern by the board. Honed CMU sounds like a potential option or something other that's creative and nice looking. In terms of the balconies, that sounds like the applicant should address the issue of it being kind of clunky, stuck on, not integrated. Maybe that'll help solve the issue with the balconies.
Yeah.
In terms of on the east facade, the missing glass, kind of glass tower, kind of breaking up the horizontal mass there. The DRB really liked the sophisticated look, and perhaps there's some sort of design solution where they can emulate the kind of the horizontal and the sophisticated look while not being a punch design, and that, you know, maybe there are some other materials or options they can utilize to do that. And then lastly, this is where I didn't have a clear, opinion on, and it's that the penthouse design. I wasn't sure whether or not the brow design was okay or if the less glazing issue...
I think what I heard was that the stronger brow is looks fine, and it's pulled back enough now that it's not a perspective issue, I don't think. So
I guess for me, the only other... So, again, the big change was on the east and north facade was the brick going to the this colored CMU. So I would say that's the last question I would have in terms of...
I'm okay with the material changes.
Okay.
I would note that no light grout.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what in the picture I didn't like was it started looking like a Lowe's, you know, it looked like a box store because it had the light grout with the gray brick.
Mm-hmm. My concern with it is especially when the red 4x16 comes down and just is unbroken, unchanged all the way to the ground. The smaller brick looks like there's more things that can be done with it, you know, and how it's laid up. And these are just, boom, they're big and there's no variation. There could be. I mean, there certainly are options for, it looks like there's an 8x16 module that other bricks or other things fit into. But just the way it just comes down and, you know, applicant says they're just going to shoot it down below grade and pour a sidewalk up against it. we've seen other approaches with storefronts, especially where there's more character and care handled with as it recesses back to storefronts, as the storefront base sill changes because of the sloping site, those kind of things. That's my major concern. Color-wise, I'm fine with it. And I think the two different colors, as you get the two separate mm-hmm. pieces, will work fine. It's just that it's, you know, just big old block that has no variation as it comes from four stories up.
And then the last item I had was the sunscreen issue.
I'd like to see them maintain at least some of them, personally.
I'm okay with them going if the balconies are handled more deftly.
Yeah, so would.
Because sometimes, I mean, a sunscreen on the wrong orientation does nothing other than just look as an added-on thing.
But not for that, for function, some degree. Like the comment whoever said about the air air conditioning.
Right. The sunscreen on the south side makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
On the west side, it may or may not, because at that point the sun is low enough that the sunscreen doesn't work. Vertical louvers, things like that work better there. But if it's just an aesthetic add-on, if the balconies do half of the job, that may be fine. They're an easy one just to eliminate.
We lost some of the texture.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All for our minor modifications?
Pardon?
Was that all for our minor modifications here?
I think we're okay with the cantilever, it sounds like, all of them. Fine with that. And the bigger openings for the ventilating seems to be okay, I guess.
I think we need to accept that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Our next item is a minor modification at Kirkland Urban, I believe.
So this is just one item. Sure, of course. So, south elevation of building E, and I think I'll just let the architect present.
Okay, thanks everybody. This is building E, kind of our the south facade where we have a curved curtain wall. And when we originally presented this, this was one that we came back to a couple of times. And one of the issues that you had initially with it was just the length of the facade and the curved facade. And we had terminating at each end, we had a large flyby condition, which originally we had about 10 feet overhang. And we reduced that on the sides to 5 feet. And then in the center, we just had the curve running through there. We broke it in the center with a notch, and we had these flybys kind of extended sections of curtain wall extending 2.5 feet on either side. And so we've been asked by kind of Prudential, which is the financial backer for the project, has been pretty involved as we go through the project and in looking at it and looking at it from kind of a tenant point of view as well. And they asked us to evaluate the flybys and see if what it would look like if we took the flybys off. And one of the rationales for that, and I kind of have to agree with some of the rationale here, is that in looking at the flybys from the inside, there's something that it does in terms of looking through from the inside to the outside that I think needs to be taken into consideration. So we looked at a couple of options for that. This option would take the flybys off but add a small piece of kind of a metal fin at the end, reminiscent of the fins that the vertical fins that are on 30-foot centers. There's something to kind of cap it. The other kind of a subtle change, if you can see, it's hard. We've got another view, but this is a glazed-in metal panel. So this is an off-white glazed-in metal panel that goes into the recess and then returns back into this curved wall as that metal panel. And part of the rationale for the flybys was to make that transition there. So if we were to remove it, what we would do would actually take the treatment of the curved facade, which is this is vision glass here. We have horizontal sunshades here. This is a horizontal fritted spandrel glass. So it's got horizontal line frit, glazed in metal panel, horizontal line frit. And rather than take the glazed in metal panel, return it through here, we would take the same material and return it around. So that's what it looks like with a kind of a small fin that we would add to each terminus. So we have one here, one at each end as well. And it's about a foot long. And that's if there was no terminus. And I think what we'd do, looking at this further, I think we would actually probably butt glaze the corner. So we'd have a corner mullion that turns the corner and it wraps around. So you probably would see the spandrel glass with the fritted pattern returning just kind of smoothly around the corner. So if you look at it, here's some views from some other, this is from the south, looking south, kind of from the west, looking back at the building. And as you can see, again, we were trying to carry the language. Here we have the metal panel at the floor line, up to the floor line, and then we have vision glass, because this is the view, the west-facing view that all the tenants really like. So we brought the glass all the way to the floor in this location. So we're bringing the glass around to the floor and returning it back here, and then the flyby kind of terminates that. So with the flyby removed and a small panel, we would do the same thing we did on the other side, where we return the fritted spandrel glass and the glazed-in metal panel and everything back to that. So this all reads as more as one kind of expression. And that's if we took off, did not add that small metal piece at the end. Here's another view, kind of straight on. That's with the small metal. It's really kind of a what would be as a aluminum, either ACM panel or aluminum brake shape, formed kind of in a triangular pattern. That's without it. But really, kind of from the inside, I think the tenants were asking if these were really necessary because they felt that they were impeding kind of one of their better views. And you know, this we have fairly clear glass. It's low E, but it doesn't have a strong tint to it. But they did point out, you know, if this glass gets dirty, there would be fritted spandrel glass down here that they felt that was, you know, had a great view, and we were not kind of taking advantage of that. So that's what the original condition. That's with a small metal fin, which still blocks the view a little bit, but it's better. And then that's without anything. So another view, kind of looking at the flyby. This is looking out towards the park, towards Peter Kirk Park. And that's with the small metal fin, and that's without anything. And from the other side, with the fin and without anything. So, and that's kind of a close-up detail view. You can see the flyby. You can see how the metal panel was returning back into the flyby condition there. And that's, if we add that small, that kind of triangular metal piece here, just as something to kind of terminate it. And I think it would actually kind of match the color of the vertical fins. It's kind of a light gray color. It doesn't show up that well here. It's this is more of an off-white. That's kind of a light gray color. And that's without anything. And again, I think rather than this condition here where there's a mullion in the corner, we would bring these. They'd be. This is all a four-sided butt glaze system, so the joints look like that, intermediate joints, and we can do a corner joint like that. So these are actually glazed in metal panels, and it shows kind of the mitered butt joint corner. So it's about a three-quarter inch joint in the corner. So that's kind of the three options, and I think that the story kind of really is from the inside more than anything else in terms of kind of taking advantage of the views of the corners. So I know that's been discussed with Angela briefly, but wanted to get your feedback on it. The other thing I'd like to point out, though, too, is add, in addition to that, we've got this, the curtain wall is, like I said, it's a unitized system. So it's basically these panels are built a story high, and they're in 5-foot sections here. So this end piece is a unitized piece as well. We are hoping to bury the structure within this solid piece right here and have it span through. We can't do that with the unitized system. It breaks right here. So the structure that we had to add on, we had to actually penetrate through the thermal barrier, come in attached to the slab, with a 6-inch deep tube steel piece that would hang off the end here. Our energy consultant said we had to wrap that. So we wrapped that again with insulation, about 2 inches of high-performing insulation and another aluminum skin on that. So it was ending up to be about a foot deep coming out here and coming back in, which is visible from the inside as well. And it was just such a cumbersome condition, and we're trying to prevent the thermal transfer from that steel structure coming back into the building. So what we thought would be kind of a simple, if the building system was different, it wasn't a unitized system, which really the only way to do this, then it could possibly have occurred. But I've since researched, I've done a lot of research on other conditions, and they all have some type of steel. It's usually exposed steel, which back before the energy code was quite as restrictive, you could get away with. But the thermal transfer is an issue that it just really doesn't fly anymore. So
previously, the gap at the center, we did fly by a little bit into the center from each wing. If
you yeah, we had originally we were 2.5 feet. Okay. Yeah, it's a 10-foot opening, 2.5 feet on each side, so it had a 5-foot kind of gap in the middle.
So now with no flyby, we just get a much bigger effective opening.
Right. It's a 10-foot opening versus a 5-foot opening. I think that was kind of original point. We had a kind of an unbroken facade that was, and then the thought was to try to do something that would be a significant enough break that it kind of stopped the facade. It wasn't kind of an unrelenting curve.
I looked at it and I couldn't find the changes, so I think it's just fine. I mean, I think that's what's going to happen in the, yeah, it was hard to tell, and I hate to admit that, but I think that when the building is built, we're not going to see any differences.
My only question was, and I hope it didn't fly right past me, do you guys have a preferred, you know, A or B?
Well, not really. I mean, I was to be honest with you, I was kind of advocating for this one here with the kind of the fins on the end, just because I thought it would be more finished. But I think that was before, you know, kind of a simple solution. And Angela, I think you suggested it, and I probably didn't listen. Is that if we took the treatment of the curved wall around into the vertical portions that come, or the projections that die into it, that solves a lot of the problems. I was trying, well, you know, we've got this transition of materials, and where do we start and stop? And you can start and stop in an inside corner, and that works best. What we're trying to do is avoid changing materials at an outside corner. So that was a pretty simple solution to doing that. So I think what I'd like to do is I'd like to go back and make sure we get it detailed so that we have a mitered corner in the corner. So you'd see, you know, it'd be a kind of a mullion that goes diagonally into the corner there, and it's a structurally glazed glass at the end. So it's about as innocuous a corner as you can get.
I was kind of in the same boat. I didn't really see a major impact and difference in between the two options.
From the inside, I will say, I think it looks cooler not to have anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's...
Look resolved is my only thought. Yeah. So.
I like the cleaner corner as opposed to the triangular element.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you can get that joined down to that 3/4 inch,
yeah.
That would look...
Yeah, sharp. Yeah.
I like that one. If the sunscreen bars, if those sort of stop logically or when they get to that buck glazed corner, they probably don't wrap. There's no reason for them to.
No real reason for them to wrap. I wouldn't think so. Yeah. I think they'll just flush out with it. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks. I mean, I kind of thought that's what we thought as well, but we thought we'd get your feedback and make sure that you didn't look at it. What happened to those flybys? So. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. There's nothing more you need from us since it's just...
No, that's it. I just wanted to be sure that you agreed. So,
all right.
Thank you.
Before we get into our next agenda item, which is the update to the design guidelines for the Hope Neverett Neighborhood Center, do we need to take a 5-minute break? Does anyone want to use the... restroom, or are we okay to keep charging on?
I'm good to go.
Okay, all right. Well, let's move on then. I guess, Angela, you get to introduce this too.
I do. Okay, little background. So we've been working on an update to the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center, which involves comp plan changes and zoning changes. And as part of that, it was decided that area, which I included a map in your packet, that area should go through design review now. There wasn't design review for that area in the past, but now there will be. So we looked at we're using the basic design guidelines for pedestrian-oriented business districts, but then we also wanted to include some special considerations in that. And then also... Jeremy was going through it. He wanted to add some stuff about the Cross Kirkland corridor just citywide. So those are in here too. Normally, you wouldn't look at this until you had a project before you, but the Houghton Community Council had the idea that it might be good for you to look at it in advance and see if you saw any things that would be difficult to you, any guidelines that would be difficult for you to work with, or if there's any additional information you wanted to include. So it seemed like a good idea, so here we are. And the Planning Commission agreed with that, too. And so I sent you the packet with the design guidelines in it. Since that time, there's been a lot of meetings on this, and I've had a meeting with the Houghton Community Council, and they had some additional wording that they wanted to include. So I gave you revised design guidelines, and I will tell you it's 2 pages, and it's some... pretty basic wording, but I want to point that out to you. You've also received 2 emails with additional recommendations. So I don't know what would be the best way to go through this. What I was thinking was, you've probably looked already at your packet, seen the design regulations that are being proposed. I can point out the additions that the Houghton Community Council made. You can see how you feel about that. And then if you'd like to go through these emails, we can do that too. Some of the things in the emails are not really appropriate for design guidelines. They belong in other places, but some of them are, and you can consider them. So you tell me how you'd like to proceed.
Okay. That's a good question. I don't know if, I've looked through it. I don't know if we're just as well to go ahead and, some of the items seem like they are purely just a housekeeping thing with adding and Houghton Everett Neighborhood Center, a lot of the red
exactly,
things,
and others are just similar to guidelines that you have for other districts. You may not have comments on these. I mean, they may meet what you think you need to work with. But I would like to at least point out the changes that were made since you got the packet.
Okay.
So maybe let's start with that.
All right.
So if you look at page 6 of the guidelines that I just handed out to you, the new ones, the wording in purple near the bottom are things that the Houghton Community Council asked that we add, and I think that they, they make sense. They're just more things that they want to be considered for this area. And they include preservation of views to the lake, coordinated street improvements, which you have, you sometimes look at that. You don't have that much control over that. Good transitions between commercial and low-density residential uses. So when you're looking at buildings that come in, you want to be sure that they relate well to the residential areas to the south. Discouraging southbound through traffic on 106th Avenue Northeast. That's a tough one for you, but maybe it has to do with how entry and exit is from the sites themselves. And so that's probably how you would get involved in that. And then enhancing the gateway at the corner of Northeast 68th and 108th Avenue Northeast. I know that would be something you could look at. Okay. So, I don't know, do you have any questions on that, or do you think those are good to have in there?
I have a comment on, I don't mean to speak up in front of everyone. Preserving views of the lake is incredibly difficult when you're given a set of guidelines and then you have neighbors that are angry that a building may block a view. I think it needs to be refined.
And the regulations say that above the second story, the third story needs to step back. Mm-hmm. So there is something in the regulations that will help with that. At the corner, the corner treatment talks about step backs and setbacks. So I would say at the corner, you will be looking at that in more detail and seeing how they handle it. But I understand what you're saying.
Let's see, every person who's upset, a building is gonna pull that one line out.
What would you recommend?
I would say that one line needs to say, please refer to the guidelines. I think it needs to have those refinements in the same line, or that one little sentence is going to be used.
So the what I'm talking about, that required step back, is in the actual zoning. So it's so we don't normally, I know it's a little confusing, but we don't normally refer to zoning in these guidelines. Yeah. Well, so it's a tough,
Well, then to speak more plainly to Scott's point, I think remove that line. I don't think that line should, just preserve views of the lake. Like, whose view? Which views? They're creating views by building up, and because it's already addressing the zoning code issues, this preserve views of the lake could always be used as a legitimate objection to any project. And I think that's kind of a slippery slope to just say preserve views of the lake, without any other qualifiers in that statement. I don't think it should. I think that's what Scott wanted.
We will know, and there will be a section where public can speak.
If you look at page 35, there is a special consideration, and it talks about buildings, landscaping, and streetscape features along the Northeast 68th Street corridor should be designed to preserve existing views from the public right-of-way. Public spaces should be oriented to take advantage of views when possible. So that does get more specific.
Okay, yeah, that's
so works. maybe you're feeling that we should just use that and not put it at the beginning.
Yeah, this is something the design review board can utilize.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And I think we can use a strong word like preserve instead of minimize impacts to.
I just see
like
that, and not leeway. Saying that in Houghton this would happen, but we have a Hector's project and a condominium behind it, and we would have 40 people in here citing that one line.
No, I understand. Yeah. All right. So we still will maintain that other area, which is more specific.
Yes.
We just take out this line. Okay.
The box on page 35 there, preserve existing views. So that means the views can't change in width or landscaping or, I mean, bigger trees that don't have leaves on them?
That's a good point. No, I don't think that's a realistic. Let me get to the right page. 35, right?
Just preserve views where possible from the public right of way.
Okay. Let's see. Where does it? I just want to get to the right spot.
Just the very back of the packet there, yeah.
Street corridors should be designed to preserve existing views from the public right of way.
So maybe you just remove the word existing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I understand the intent, and I think it's a good one because east-west streets anywhere in the city.
And you know what? Views have to be protected, but I think that we have to word it carefully so that, and also somebody reading this guideline book doesn't get all fired up and go, I have grounds to,
Right. I understand.
Except for it does say public right-of-way. It doesn't say anything about private property. So, I mean, I'm a little confused about.
We're definitely, we can't. We do not preserve public, private views.
Yeah.
So
right.
It is public. That
I mean, look to the paragraph that the arrow is pointing to that talks about Juanita. There's a nice sentence that says, existing residential views and view opportunities through the beach park and down public streets should be preserved. So
we do use it there.
But we don't say existing views. We just say preserve views from the public right of way. So I think that's totally adequate.
Okay. So are you okay with the other changes on page 6 or anything else on page, for that matter?
provide good transitions. I think that good is needs to be more specifically defined.
Okay. What do you think? What should we use there instead? Or maybe well, you understand what we're trying to get to here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, we could just say.
We've said thoughtful or something like that. Preserve thoughtful transitions.
Well, I think in this case, good is something that's up to the design review board's discretion, and that's okay. I think more the focus is Houghton and Everest communities more focused on like they want a nice the transition. They want the design review board to focus on that. I think that's...
It's just the wording, which to me is
adjective.
I think to a great extent it's a zoning code issue for how that transition happens. If it's a material or some aspect of the way it looks, the actual design looks, that may be sort of in our wheelhouse. But if it's just, a good transition from the neighbors would be, move that commercial back X number of feet, but that's going to be a zoning code issue that should be established
where
the bulk and the mass is.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it is just an issue of, is that an ugly commercial building or is it an ugly residential building that, offends the commercial side, that may be a design board issue, but I don't know if the actual massing and how the transition happens, typically stepping down or decreasing in height and volume.
Well, I guess I wasn't thinking just about building setbacks and massing. I was also thinking like the streetscape and pedestrian experience.
Right.
Is there going to be like a sidewalk cafe right here? Is there going to be a lot of people concentrated at that corner that transitions into a neighborhood? So there's other things besides just the building dimensions proper, that the design review board can comment on.
But I think that the language should reflect that more specifically and say, in addition to zoning, you know, yeah. consideration of public amenities or whatever, you know, or reference the other ones. It's just very, you know, it's just not valid. Design guideline language, really. Good transitions.
We can just say provide
transitions.
I mean, yeah. we can take out the word good, and it probably... Yeah. The thing to remember, too, is this first page is kind of the general.
Yeah.
And so you're trying to get your points out, and then later it gets more specific.
Okay.
So, but I can definitely take out that word, the good word. Okay.
I have a comment on way up in the top of the box that talks about the primary goal of the plan. Is a pedestrian-oriented neighborhood center with a mix of commercial residences that primarily serve the adjacent neighborhoods. Currently, there are two large commercial ventures that I think are regional in nature, PCC mm-hmm. and Met Market, that are not necessarily neighborhood stuff. Yeah, there's dry cleaners or there's teriyaki there. That those exist in other, quote, neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Houghton Everest has... two big sub-regional grocery stores. I mean, I shop at PCC all the time, and
those
I'm not in that neighborhood.
Two stores too, and that's
So I don't know. And it says primarily, but is it something that?
This is something that the citizens and the Houghton Community Council felt very strongly about. So I understand what you're saying, but not just this wording here, but also mm-hmm. in the comprehensive plan. There's a number of places where they wanted it to be neighborhood serving. Yeah. So,
but
I understand what you're.
But
your
as
point.
I mean, I went to a bunch of the meetings and watched all the videos of all of the sessions. My recollection is that there's something in there that requests a minimum size for grocery, drug, mm-hmm. or hardware store.
You're
correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's not really neighborhood. That's sub-regional, if you will. That we're going to bring people in that. Aren't from Houghton and Everest, but yeah. are from Norkirk, from Moss Bay, from, you know, Bellevue. So.
I get it. Yeah. I just don't know what to do about
okay.
it.
Okay.
It's in the policies that are being proposed.
Okay.
In the
so that requirement for the 20,000 square foot minimum, and it could be combined. Sort of square footage?
Well, that's a question now. The Planning Commission has said it could be combined. The Houghton Community Council has said that they will veto it if it has to be combined. So they want at least a 20,000 square foot grocery store or a 20,000 square foot hardware store or a 20,000 square okay. foot pharmacy. So, I'm going to the Planning Commission again on Thursday night to mm-hmm. see how they feel about that. That's the one point of contention right now. But I definitely understand your point. It's just, this beginning is a general statement yeah. that ties into the comprehensive plan. That's okay. where it came from. Hopefully it's not going to have that much impact, that general statement, okay. on your decision-making process.
Okay.
So
currently, Met Market wants to be bigger, theoretically. Bartell wants to be bigger.
They do.
Their standard store size is bigger, and PCC probably wants to be bigger, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Just I needed to mention it just because it serves more than neighborhoods. Much more.
Just a question probably asked at the beginning of this process. Who ultimately has the oversight of what is properly written into the design guidelines?
The City Council.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is more of just feedback.
Yes. And I should have said that. So we're just, again, we're asking for your feedback. That's
okay.
that's why I was saying it's not something yeah. that you normally do, but it seems like a good idea.
Well, some of this stuff, too, is hard to, you know, you look at this and you think, well, how are we going to
How are you
going to
use it? Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of the thought that went into the comments, you know, I think they're all valid, you know, and there was a lot of good intention. It's just the tightening up of some of the language, you know, treating this as like an enforceable legal document, so to speak, you know.
Yeah, that's why I'm here. I think you can help with that. So page 6, any other comments on that?
Okay, I hate to ask this because I'm trying to picture it right now. 106, they're trying to discourage southbound.
Yeah.
How?
And northbound, PM northbound.
Okay, I'm trying to picture 106. Where? I'm drawing a blank.
Do you know the Starbucks?
Yes.
If you're headed towards Bellevue, Starbucks is on your right. So that's 106.
Okay, I thought that was 108.
Yeah, 108. Okay. Let's see. If you look in your packet.
Oh, okay. It's down between the.
It has the speed bumps on it.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's 108th is more the main drag, yeah. I would say. Yeah. And 106 is more residential.
Uh-huh.
And so that's the reason for that. There's single-family homes south of there on both sides.
PM cut-throughs is substantial on 106.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Again, that's not something that you all have very much impact on, right. Except maybe with access, uh-huh. You know, to the. So I guess you do, but yeah. I mean, the Houghton Community Council is very concerned about that, and they discuss having ride out only and that kind of thing. But then that cuts off the people who live in the neighborhood. So you just have to be careful what you do with it. But the idea was to at least get the concept in here. So there's an understanding that that's a concern. Yeah. That's why it's here. And then the other page, page 30, is the other place where we have some changes to what you were already sent. So it's at the bottom of the page, and it has to do with street corners. And just to step back a little bit, the Houghton Community Council feels like it has made a point that corner at 108th and 6th and 68th is a very important corner, which it is. And so they wanted you to be aware of that when you're looking at whatever buildings go in there. So I put it under street corners. I did not put it under entry gateway features because the entry gateway feature section is more like a feature, you know, like a sculpture or something. Mm-hmm. So it didn't really fit. It's a tough one. Didn't really fit there. So it's here, but I'm referencing the entry gateway feature to let it be known. Yes, it's also a gateway to the area, but it just doesn't fit under those other guidelines. They're not that broad. So here's the special consideration. And one of the things that the group wanted to add were building setbacks and step backs because, again, there was that feeling. They want it opened up. And the zoning code only says to step back above the second story because the feeling was that if you take it above the first story, you're getting it's too low and next to the street, it doesn't work really well. But for the corner, Houghton was hoping that there would be more. There would be some open space. There might be step backs. So that's what this wording is trying to do. So they added building step backs and setbacks, and they added again view preservation. And then I put in, and then as I said, they wanted to move it, so I put in see also design guidelines for entry gateway features, so that would just be a reminder that maybe that's what you have there is a gateway feature too.
But that's got to go to the planning commission to put teeth in it. Some of the things you were just talking about.
No, this again, there's a setback requirement above the second floor. And in the zoning.
Yeah, that's right.
So anything else, I mean, and I've seen you all do it before on corners and then special treatment.
Yeah, we can emphasize corner treatments.
Yeah. But that's what this is. They just wanted to give it a little extra strength. So those are the changes. I don't know whether we can go, if you have other questions or other points about what's here, that's fine, or we can look at these emails next. I don't know if you had other thoughts that you wanted to, before we get into the emails, that you wanted to bring forth.
else, I don't know if anyone else on the board did either.
The inclusion of the CKC, just little plunk, plunk, plunks here and there. Mm-hmm. So currently, the accessibility to CKC from Hink, I'll call it, is the city has purchased the little through piece through the Waddell property, correct?
Right.
Okay, and that's basically...
It's now city property. On the south side of the Waddell property.
We purchased and then sold it back to him, essentially, or to...
We still own it.
Oh, the whole, not the whole, just the,
no.
the right-of-way.
We own the southern portion of that. Used to be Waddell owned those apartments.
Right.
Now the city owns the apartments, but also has that access.
Oh, okay. So that's basically on grade. And then there are stairs mm-hmm. up from 68th when you go under on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of until you get up to Google, that's the next place that you access it.
Yeah.
So is this, are we saying in here that that we're going to put in more, or it's a requirement that there are more?
That's probably it for this area. But those, Jeremy put those in just for the whole, projects that come up. I mean, we have some regulations in the zoning code, too, about the CKC.
Okay.
But he just wanted to beef it up a little bit because we, it's an important area. And so you may get a building north or south of there where we would have those references available that you could use.
Okay.
So that's the one part of this that's more general.
And the terminology adding in East Side Rail Corridor, that's a very specific addition, correct, wording-wise?
Yeah, is that in here?
Mm-hmm.
Did he add that in?
CKC. Well,
yeah, okay, yeah.
Some say,
see, he did that.
Corridor and
East Side.
But it's one, they're one and the same, essentially. It's because Sound Transit has the rights still.
Do you have an idea why he would have?
Yeah, because I think once you get into Totem Lake North, that it's actually called the East Side Rail Corridor, because the city doesn't own that portion of the corridor yet. So
yeah.
I think that's why Jeremy added.
Oh, it's still in the city limits.
Correct.
But it's not.
But we don't own
CKC.
It.
Yeah. Okay.
That's right. Yeah. So that's, I didn't know why you put that in there either.
Okay.
So that's why that's there.
And I guess even on page 14, the new box about through-block pedestrian connections, is that going to be in zoning code?
There's going to be a requirement in the zoning code. There's two portions. Let's see, part of zone one, where those offices are, if you can picture that on the north, and then also the Waddell property. There'll be a requirement for a connection. So I guess that's a good point. You didn't ask about where the offices are. We would require some kind of connection up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before you get to the industrial building, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, obviously when it redevelops,
Yeah. Okay.
Anyone else from the board have any other feedback or comments? I guess I just had a question. I didn't know if some members of the Houghton Community Council were here, if there was anything to address to the board or open this for public comment. I don't know, because this is a different item.
It's not
normally a public comment.
Well, aren't we just giving feedback?
You are, yeah.
Maybe there's...
But, okay. I mean... I don't know if they have anything that you
don't
have anything
don't,
that you want
know.
To say.
At least as far as public comment go, which I guess can be one and the same.
Mm-hmm. Press that button in the front and it turns green.
Yeah. Yep. Whatever. I'm chair. The purpose of having you guys look at this is just what you're saying. You think we've got good intentions, but is this going to? Are you going to be able to take this and work with it? Or does it need to be modified so that it achieves our goals, but it's within the framework that works for you guys? So that's why we're doing it now. We'd rather have this addressed up front than have it become a problem down the road when somebody's trying to develop. So if you're seeing things that aren't worded conducive for you to achieve the good intentions that we're striving for, please tell us how to rework.
And I think we have some of those already, so they've given us some.
Okay.
Any others?
Do you guys want to provide any public comment? Just kind of the usual public comment forum?
I still would, and it's a kind of a big open-ended issue, and it's sort of like the area between Planning Commission and DRB. There's a huge area in there that could lead to better urban design that we're not able to do. I mean, I can't think of the number of times that we as a board go, gosh, the zoning is just so this or that, and it doesn't allow for something mm-hmm. that would be outside the box that would lead to better solutions mm-hmm. for everybody. And, you know, our arms are kind of tied behind our back because we'd have to go back to the Planning Commission to say, you know, start the process to reword or redo the zoning to allow something that's a little bit different that would, mm-hmm. you know, and that's a frustrating thing for us, I think, as a board. I think there's a number of times we've felt that, you know, if we could just do this, that would be mm-hmm. a better solution, but we sort of can't. I know where it all kind of came from, and that was the B of A downtown, when there were kind of loosely worded things that was up to the DRB discretion to do step backs and change, you know, adding an extra story and this and that. And that after that, the DRB was just kind of, boom, there's no choice to do that anymore. And it's unfortunate because I think it's led to, a lot of times it leads to maxed out building heights that basically you just get a topping effect.
Yeah.
That's all there is because they can't go any higher, and boring buildings because of it, or buildings that could be more interesting if mm-hmm. there were some other options. In this case, specifically for Houghton Everest, there's an enormous grade change, not enormous, but there's substantial grade right. change across here that would in some places allow an extra story in, you know, instead of putting that mass somewhere else that could be inconsequential in the overall appearance of the structure, but that would allow a better public space or something else, but it's not going to be doable because of the way the zoning code stipulates this is it, 35 feet, and somebody's going to try and sneak in a story or something that, you know, squeezes it in, and it's, does that make sense?
Oh, it makes absolute sense, but if you've been listening to all the meetings, you know how strongly the feelings are about that.
Oh, I have, and I know
that.
And
so
a lot of the reaction, the reasons given for not allowing the greater development was PM traffic, and mm-hmm. you know, just the fact that it's just we can't. This intersection is beyond repair. Welcome to Kirkland. It's that way everywhere in the PM hours. Market Street, 132nd, 116th, 124th. They're all that way. 68th and 108th works quite well a bunch of the rest of the time, but the fact that the PM, you know, hours dictate mm-hmm. this reaction makes it so that fourth or fifth story in the right places is never going to happen, and that's unfortunate. So that's all I have to say.
Okay. How about these design guidelines? Any other, and again, we can also go through these emails. One of them, Lisa McConnell's here, so we can.
Okay. Yeah, I know this is kind of a different sort of agenda item for us that doesn't, it's not a design response or something like that where we have a very formalized public comment portion, but I suppose if we can keep it fairly brief, because we aren't necessarily deciding on anything here, and this doesn't give any form of recourse for an appeal or something like that.
No, so you're really just giving advice, but if you'd like to hear their opinion, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. so. So if you just state your name and address. And
good evening. I'm Larry Totally, 11201 Northeast 58th Place. Wanted to introduce myself to the Design Review Board. I'm the new president of the Central Houghton Neighborhood Association, trying to make a seamless transition from Lisa McConnell. she staying on as the secretary of, on the board. So hopefully we can keep the momentum from the past and build off of that. Looking forward to continuing to work with the design review board. And as Mr. Whitney stated, it really is important to get these design guidelines as precise or worded in a way where you could, this intent can come through. People change, staff changes, design review board changes, neighborhoods change, people change. That intent needs to be able to stay in there. We're very passionate about the views, access, circulation, and that gateway, as well as many other things. As Board Member Olson had talked about the intersection, it's not just the intersection, it's the safety at all the driveways. The circulation within these centers just does not work. I'm a traffic engineer by trade. I know it doesn't work. The traffic consultant that put this out here shows that it doesn't work. There's safety issues with pedestrian, bicycle, and vehicles. If we're going to make this a pedestrian-oriented center, we need to take those into consideration. And the wording in these design guidelines, because that's where staff has moved a lot of the information from zoning to the design guidelines, we need to make sure that those all work. So glad that you guys are looking at them. I hope that you guys can continue to look at that as projects come in and understand the intent and the passion. We want a good project. We're not trying to just stop the development. We're trying to make it so it fits in, is compatible with the surrounding neighborhood. Thanks.
Good evening, board members. My name is Lisa McConnell. I sent you a pretty extensive email letter. I have copies if you need to look at those. And I wanted to go over some of the major points of that letter. The first thing would be reducing the ingress and egress conflicts for vehicles. I would include bicycles and pedestrians in that statement. Since these design guidelines were written, we have Kirkland has been very active in considering all modes of transportation, and bicycles need to be spelled out, and this is the kind of specificity that we are looking for in these design guidelines, so that hopefully will help the design review board now and in the future when developments come up understand what we intended with our update for the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center. Also, Vision Zero has been adopted since these guidelines were written, and these needed to be included. And Vision Zero is absolutely a design concept. It is the design and the infrastructure that is key to increasing the safety for our vulnerable users, and that is the whole intent behind Vision Zero. Never is this more important than along 68th Street, where there's a school walk route, and it's a vital pedestrian and bicycle route that we have worked very hard to maintain. Again, safety is of primary importance in the design of pedestrian and non-motorized environments. It's important to everybody who uses it, as well as for the businesses to thrive, and design considerations are vital get this safety up to the level that we hope to get with Vision Zero targets that we have. I've included a list of safety issues such as lighting, ingress and egress reduction, and sidewalk widths. Sidewalk widths is another one that we ask a lot of our sidewalks, one of which is commute options. We have a lot of lunchtime traffic walking from Google into our business area, and as our business area develops, it will also become a commute option, getting from the transit stops that are along 108th and 6th to our business area and to the industrial areas above. So a 12-foot width on all our sidewalks is an absolute minimum. There are lots more in my letter. And The intent with that was to try and be specific about some of the ideas that we have discussed in our Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center discussions, which I've been a part of since 2009. Thank you for your time and consideration, and in the future to advance some of the clarity in the design guidelines. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Hi, I'm Anna Rising, and I'm the chair of the Everest Neighborhood Association, and I've been involved with this issue since 2012. I definitely agree with everything that Lisa and Larry have said. The council, planning department, planning commission, and Houghton Community Council have heard from hundreds and hundreds of residents on this potential rezone, so much that it's been stated many times that this has been the largest amount of feedback on any issue that Kirkland's dealt with. We've also heard many comments that there's been a lot of well-thought-out and in-depth comments. I think our largest concern overall for residents is whether we want to make sure that our concerns are addressed and intent is addressed. And we're worried that if things aren't specific enough, then the worst-case scenario will happen. Over and over we hear that the site won't develop with the current zoning. But since this rezone consideration has been up in the air since 2009, and the current residential and commercial market in the city is so hot, we really don't know that that's true, that it won't redevelop, and we don't know what the worst-case scenario would be. People are concerned about the traffic, and I think just saying that it's horrible, so get used to it, it's pretty frustrating. Just to add more fuel to the fire is it doesn't seem very well thought out. But really limiting the density and the bulk of mass of the neighborhood center so it blends with the residential neighborhoods, that's really a huge concern. And as far as the view corridor, I understand there's some condos. That's never been a concern. Maybe a condo owner might have mentioned it, but the majority of the residents, it's the coming down 68th on the street, and you see the lake and you see the mountains. And we want to know if there's a two-story building right up next to the sidewalk. Is that going to block the view that's everybody's so proud of? And it probably would. So we want to have that language in there to not block those views. It's just such a huge issue for everybody. As it's been mentioned, the goal is to make the center more pedestrian-friendly. And so really would look at helping you help us or guide us with open spaces, good design, things that will really make it an attractive space that we can all be proud of. So really appreciate that your help on this. There's been a lot that's been kind of deferred over to you guys. So really hope that you'll consider all the comments from the residents.
Okay, thank you. I think that concludes our discussion on this one. So I think that concludes everything. So I don't think there's any other business, is there, or any other announcements?
Are there pieces of the email that we think need to be or should be added? Or?
Oh, I forgot about going through the email.
Yeah, there's a couple of things I could point out to you that could easily be added. One thing to clarify, you don't have control over density. Some of the things that I know are a big concern are more recommendations by the Planning Commission, the Houghton Community Council, and the City Council. So you're more involved in the design. You don't say how large the sidewalk's going to be or what the street...
What the setback is
going to
be.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, those are important issues. They're just not your issues. So just to clarify that. But some of these things are. So let's start with Lisa McConnell's email. If you look at page 6, she's asked that, let's see. This is in, again, the big blurb there. There's a section, you get down to, let's see, the second paragraph, and it talks about successfully integrating site and building design with this important transportation and open space amenity. It's talking about the Cross Kirkland Corridor. And Lisa's suggesting that we also add the wording as well as public access in there. So that can be done if you would like to mention public access again. So I'm on page 6, and I'm on the red box, and I'm where it says purpose of design guidelines for Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center. It's the second paragraph, and it starts with, in addition, the neighborhood center contains an important interface with the Cross Kirkland Corridor. So we're talking about the corridor again. And then Lisa's just wanting to add in a mention of the public access again to this wording.
That actually helps us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. So I'm happy to.
Yeah.
But access from public right-of-ways or access from private parcels in the.
It's access from public right-of-ways through the parcel. It's not just for the residents of the parcel or the So do you feel that?
Well,
I think again. Maybe we need to be careful how it's worded in the zoning code,
yeah,
but
it,
this
it may also intrude on private owners' rights.
Well, yeah, I mean it's
every parcel won't be required to do it. It's just kind of a reminder that we're looking for good access points to the Cross Kirkland Corridor. Because again, this is a general statement here. This isn't the specifics. So, well, I mean it. But I
will say, when we're working on a, you know, especially all the stuff that we've been doing up in Totem Lake, it has been vague at times how far we're required to take these, you know, public access. So
pathways. Okay.
Sometimes it's a little nicer to have something that spells out, yeah, this is really a requirement. You can't mm-hmm. just say this little tiny sidewalk next to your building is a public access.
So should we put this in?
I think you should.
Okay. All right. The next section is talking about the zoning, basically, and that's not something that you can be that you're involved in. And it's also talking about comp plan wording. So again, something that staff should look at, but not something for you. Page 6 again. I'm now on the third bullet. Reduce ingress and egress conflicts. That is. Oh, let's see. Go down. You're in that rectangle again. You go down, first paragraph, second paragraph, it talks about guidelines that are intended to further the following design objectives, and then you go, let's see, 1, 2, where is this?
The second one above the purple.
You're right, that's it.
That's the third bullet.
Yes, yeah. Reduce ingress and egress conflicts. For vehicles, bicycles, and within and around the center through the creation of a circulation system for vehicles. And Lisa's suggesting that we add bikes in there. So not just vehicles and pedestrians, but bicycles too. I don't know how, again, this is probably going to be more something that's looked at by Public Works, but it doesn't hurt to have a placeholder there for that,
mm-hmm.
if you agree. Okay.
I think you can say all users, including vehicles, bicycles, pedestrians, because there's, you know, just include everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'll put all users first, and then I'll put including. Okay. This section on lighting. Lighting for pedestrians at crosswalks. This is page 17, I think. We have in, excuse me. Um, There's a special consideration. Pedestrian lighting should be provided along school walk routes and all pedestrian-oriented streets in the center. So I don't know if we need any more there. Okay.
I don't know why.
Yeah. I mean, I think the point is we want to make sure that it's well lit.
Right.
You know,
I mean,
so.
I mean, lighting and crosswalks and that, that's going to be...
Again, more of a public works thing. Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Number two, it talks about ingress and egress reduction. There's going to be a requirement in the code that any new development has to look at ingress and egress for the entire central piece. So I think that's already handled. Increase in sidewalk width, again, that's going to be a requirement in the code. It's also something that Public Works looks at. More about sidewalk widths is the zoning. Lighting from buildings, page 11 talks about lighting from buildings. Special consideration for dimmer lighting along 106th Avenue should be given to the eastern side faces of a residential zone. I personally feel that's pretty specific, but I will put it in if you'd.
If it's a residential zone, what are they saying from... You know, the businesses facing the residential?
Yeah, zone? They're saying that. So, what it's talking about is, businesses facing the residential zone. So, there's two parts to it. Lighting along 106th on the eastern side, which faces the residential zone, and then also on the south side. The zoning code does have some requirements for the intensity of lighting. It's not, I don't know if this wants to go further here, but I don't think.
How are we even quantifying
this? Yeah, you all don't usually get into that. I mean, you may look at the style of the light, but not so much the intensity of it.
This one I think may be hand tying, especially when we don't even know the project that might be there. I mean, if you're looking at the current projects that are there, they're not really facing 106th. And I'm sure this is for the future, but I think that you're already tying up something that...
Mm-hmm. I think, if I understand what Lisa was trying to do is just bring out all the points that they want to be sure that we think about, and some of them belong in the guidelines and some of them belong other places or will be handled other ways. So it's okay. Page, the next, pedestrian-oriented plazas. Again, this is page 30. And this is the corner, I referred to before about the corner and how that's really important, and we tried to express that here. I don't know.
Again, we've kind of hit on that, haven't we, with the gateway. You know, we've already designated the part of the project we say is the gateway portion of the project, and we are giving it special consideration. So, and this is specific and then yet vague on what considerations to give it. So I don't know if there's much more to glean from this other than the points made. We should pay attention to the gateway, and I think we've got it captured.
That it's an important area. But
will the zoning code say you can't fill up to a corner at property lines at those four corners, or will it say...
No, it just says that you have to step back above the second story.
So this bullet item, it sort of says plaza, which is not a... piece of structure, correct? I mean,
right.
Are we? Is all four corners, or when corners are redeveloped, are they eroded so there's, you know, sort of public pedestrian plazas at those corners? Is that what it's...
That may be what she's suggesting. That's not what the zoning code says. Okay. And that's... So what we're saying here, again, buildings at this corner should be designed to enhance the gateway with step backs and setbacks. So we've already said that maybe you want it, you might want to have something additional there. You might, architectural features, public open space. I mean, it...
Possibly, and then the zoning code nails it down.
How is it different from our gateway requirements and other...
You always look at those things. And
right. So, I mean, I think we've covered it as long as we reference.
I agree.
We don't need to have extra words that are
saying what you've already. Yeah. And I know that when you look at those areas, you always look at those things.
We do.
But they just want to be sure that you do.
Okay.
So that's why.
But, I mean, urban Kirkland is a big, big gateway. And the gateway that now is urban Kirkland is corner of a residential structure with a health club at the ground floor. I mean, way, way back when, you know, when it was in the olden days, it was a see-through slot when it was Touchstone's project. Mm-hmm. And then it was a big commercial building that had a big thing. And, you know, so the corners and gateways and all that, it's not tightly worded enough that, you know, not that urban Kirkland is going to be bad.
It has its own guidelines too. Yeah. I mean, but I hear you. I mean,
the only thing that I like about the wording is that when we did the park and ride, it was very tough. They fulfilled the zoning, and they gave us, you know, this open space, and we wanted them to step back. Houghton wanted them to step back, but it wasn't. They had already given their space.
Yeah.
So our hands were a little bit tied. And then people weren't happy. So maybe having the wording in there helps.
So what wording would you like?
I like this, you know,
I would say
almost encouraging step back.
Oh, instead of just saying...
What I would argue about that, though, is it's not necessarily separate. Maybe it's a tower element. I mean, there's so many different alternatives that if we're going to get that specific, we have to really spend a lot of time and nail it down instead of just say, okay.
I wanted to turn into a verbal description of what this project's going to look like before.
Yeah, before we even it's presented to us. I do understand
the guidelines, the intent of these guidelines are to guide, you know, they're not...
not prescribing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, that's the plaza. Blank walls along the Cross Kirkland Corridor are already in. There's already a section in the code that talks about what you can put along Cross Kirkland Corridor. So I don't think, I mean, you've got it in here too, but it's in the code. You don't have, drive-thrus have been a big issue, but that's not something that you are involved in. Pathway width, again, that's a code thing. Let's see. Pathway width. Connections should be encouraged in both Kirkland and Everest. Let's see. CKC connections. We have that. We've already talked about that. The east-west access in the Houghton and Everest portions will be in the code. We were directed by the Planning Commission to put in the code that there needs to be an east-west connection through the sites. So that's already taken care of. Street trees are handled by Public Works and Parks. Of course, you'll look at the landscaping when it comes in, but we are not going to put something specific here since they haven't come up with a design that they want there yet. Public improvements, again, this is more of a Public Works thing. Then we entry gateway. I think we've talked about that quite a bit.
Except for, I'm just looking at on the email here, I think that the wording here is maybe a little bit closer to what...
Okay.
And that is, you know, such many options are possible, including plazas, artwork, turret, curved corners, and setback. They should be required to incorporate an architectural or pedestrian-oriented feature. I mean, that's more explicit than saying, you know, should be designed to enhance this gateway with elements such as.
So would you prefer that we use this?
Well, it's already in, I mean, it's already in the guidelines on page
it's
two.
It's just adding, wait.
Well, it's on page two of
all. Oh, this is.
Bullet two, word for word.
Oh, so she's just adding the setbacks and the step backs, sorry.
Well, this stuff that's in bold and underlined.
Okay.
Our page two.
Where's this?
Bullet item two.
I missed this one.
Well, it's the one that's
got buildings. Okay.
The pretty picture.
So this is just, this is looking at the drawing.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is good because it kind of shows that what they have.
What does it need to be then further back in the entry and gateway section is what I'm wondering, even though it's been stated here very generically with pictures.
Well, I mean, these pictures apply everywhere, so they do have corner treatment shown. But there's some additional...
And that's also, it says corner lot and not gateway, so...
And, right. But she did add some wording. And step back or setbacks is not, in, you know, it's word for word for number two, but the highlighted and under, or the bolded and underlined wording has been added, which... we've added it somewhere else, but it might be good to add it here, too.
Well, there are, I thought there were guidelines for the step backs specifically.
There are in a different section, too.
Not setbacks.
That, that's on page 26. It talks about the step backs and the setbacks. Yeah, you're right.
Well, no setbacks. Or just
step Is it
backs.
Just step backs?
Yeah. I mean, that's a big difference. So if the setback requirement is off of the property line or
right, and that's going to be in the zoning. But we actually also have a step back. Again, that above the second story is a step back requirement.
That's in the zoning.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is in addition to that. And Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center has been added to this.
Yeah.
This is in regards to only the corners. Good point, John. So, we could add it to number two on page two.
Yeah,
but I think for consistency's sake, when we look at what applies to a project and what guidelines, we don't go typically to the introduction, right? We would typically go to the actual topic, the design guideline topic.
Okay.
And the actual guideline. So I think if anything, I mean, if the goal is to have a clear and intent guideline, we should be changing the actual guideline.
So let's go back to that page and see if we'd prefer. I mean, we could have this same wording again. You know, like, I think that's where we started this conversation.
Is that entry gateway feature on our page 17? Is that where it goes then?
I don't think it does because that's a feature. This is that issue again.
This is an intersection that is.
This entry gateway thing is talking about sort of a theme. Gateway features.
Yeah.
See, and there's, like, you see the picture and all that. It doesn't. So, but I wanted to. That's why I referenced it because, yeah, it might be nice to have something like that there, but it's not inclusive enough for all the things that we're talking about here. So it really is more of the corner. How do you want to handle a corner? I don't know. Buildings on the corner should be designed to enhance this gateway with the element. So gateway is used there. I'm happy to switch out the wording if you think
it... So what I think is different here is, at least in this first section, it doesn't really talk about anything structural or building. It talks about landscaping, masonry, colors or textures, a light, a logo.
Where are you?
Page 17, the entry gateway features.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's why I don't feel that we want more. And so
agreed.
That's why I don't think it goes in that
okay.
other section.
Okay.
When we do have instructions like that, it is clear because it's just like Kirkland Urban when they said, oh, this really strong corner of the building is our gateway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the board always has to say, well, it's not really a gateway.
Yeah. So this or one of these wording would help with that. That was the idea. It's just, which do you prefer? You know, I mean, does it, to me, they...
Where it actually talks about landscaping and, you know, artwork or, you know, a plaza or, I mean, at least it gives them options. I'd rather see that it's...
Okay, wait, where are you? 17?
Wasn't that on 17?
Yeah.
Well, 17, and it applies too. It definitely, I mean, they all apply. It's just, where are you going to talk about... the building, the step backs of the building and the architectural features, I think
you
talk about it here.
Now that we've talked about it forever, I think you already got it when you said, okay, and reference the gateway features.
Okay. And Lisa's point about adding step backs and setbacks is in here. And now I guess the only question would be, do you want to add it to that front? John's right. We don't really go there when we're pointing something out, but we still could add it in there as just like that's, I mean, if you look at these drawings, they include, they include like cutouts anyway, maybe not step backs.
Huh. No, one corner shows where it's cut out to create a pedestrian plaza, and the corner across from that building three, it comes out to the corner and then sets back. So it shows the options,
yeah.
You know, and designers are, you know.
So what kind of setbacks are being proposed? That zone, I'm just curious.
Minimum of 5 feet, 15 feet average overall.
For the step
back. No, setbacks.
Oh.
The ground floor.
Zero.
So I think it gets to Tim's point that he mentioned earlier. I was like, does the DRB have enough authority or tools or language to say, no, even though you do have a zero setback, in order to provide a adequate or well-designed gateway or plaza, you're going to have to
set back the
building.
Yeah, open it up. So
maybe one of the options, as Lisa recommended, is that one of the tools is to require an additional setback. I don't know. Maybe that's a discussion for the Planning Commission or Houghton Council.
Well, because
then we get back to we're designing a project before we even see it. We're now requiring a setback and requiring a plaza where maybe they wanted it down, you know, another 15 or 20 feet and not right there at the corner. So I don't feel like it's a good idea to start putting prescriptive language in unless you know what you want to put there. Like there's been projects we've had where they know – you know, oh, we want a sculpture here. We want a piece of art down at Park Place. Or we know, you know, we want, you know, to greet the Cross Kirkland corridor at Totem Lake. I don't think we should put prescriptive language in about the corner unless we know what we want to put in there. Otherwise, we're just tying our hands for nothing.
And I will say that there's an open space requirement. It doesn't say at the corner, but there is an open space requirement in the zoning. So that may help. I mean, I suppose they could choose to put it in the middle of the site or something,
and
but it's a public open space.
That's where the project massing comes in. You know, they'll give us options on where that open space.
Well, that's a good point. In the conceptual, yeah.
And so we can help encourage where that space is allocated to.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Doesn't it also come down to the existing versus sort of proposed right-of-way widths? If it in fact, because isn't it currently 60 feet for both streets?
Yeah.
Which is horrendously narrow given the number of lanes and bike lanes and everything else and sidewalks, et cetera. So if it goes to 80 feet, I mean, I know that's sort of been proposed with some right turn lanes and
stuff. Yeah, I don't know that that will happen, but it is one of the, it's part of the Sixth Street Corridor study, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, if that ever does happen,
yeah,
you get a wider right-of-way, which may mean setbacks are not necessary if there's sufficient width for sidewalks and all that kind of stuff. There's not enough land to do everything that needs to be done, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Right-of-ways and all that good stuff.
Okay. I'm on the last page. And this is talking about encourage traffic to turn right out of Metropolitan Market and delineate this. Yeah, so, I mean, again, that's not something you're going to be doing. That would be something Public Works would need to look at. Real quick, Sandy Helgeson also sent a letter, and I saw only three of these, which fall into your area. The first one, this is talking about, again, it's the gateway thing, incorporating the requirements that will make the intersection of 68 be a gateway to the community and preserve the view corridor. I think we've taken care of that. She does make the point of having a step back above the first floor, but that's not in the, again, that's not in the zoning. The decision was made by the, or the recommendation was made by the Planning Commission and Houghton Community Council to go above the second floor. So that's number one. Number two is talking about mitigating traffic on residential streets, and she's saying it should be in the comp plan and the zoning. And again, that's not you all. She's the next, number three is talking about zoning. Number four is talking about zoning. Number five, be certain that we'll be required to include safe pedestrian access connection to the CKC. We've talked about that. Number six is talking about zoning. Number seven is talking about zoning. And number eight is talking about zoning. So I think that's it.
Number six, about the 13-foot ground floor requirement, is that specifically?
We're not going to that's not going to be required because of the limit on the 30-foot height. You know, normally in zones where we require that, we allow them to go up to 33 feet, and they didn't want that. So and it's not required there now. BC zone doesn't require it, but I mean, it makes sense. It's for the design, but if for the 30-foot height option, they're required to have it, but for the other options, they are not. That's the way the zoning is going to read. Okay, thank you. I know it's a little out of the ordinary, but it was helpful. And
yeah.
I'll incorporate those changes when I take it to the council. So.
All right. What else?
One administrative item.
All right.
So we're looking at canceling the July 3rd meeting because we currently do not have any items for that agenda. So just want to make sure it's okay with the board to do so.
We ought to meet anyway.
July 3rd. However, in case something does come in, we are looking at July 10th, so the following Monday, as a potential option for a DRB meeting. So I'm just wondering if, at least with you all here, that at least we'll have a quorum for the July 10th meeting.
That would be fine for me, I think. At this point, I don't know.
Is that two?
Schedule that hour up.
I'm here.
Yeah, three, four. Okay.
So do we have anything in June? Petco.
Petco, big CDC.
So June.
On the 5th of June, and that's it?
Rose Hill. And then on the 19th, I'm not sure. I'd have to look on Jeremy's calendar, make sure.
Nothing on this one so far.
But we're okay with canceling the 3rd. And then
potentially
on the 10th. Yep. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
All right.
I'll move for adjournment.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Adjourned.